Welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping the late pick five from Belmont Park, Saturday, October 31st. This is show number 90, October 30th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how are you this morning?
Doing great. The Breeders' Cup pre-entries are out. I'm dying to start handicapping those races, but I made myself wait and handicap the races for the pod this week before I start taking a look at those. But just looking at the pre-entries, I think it will be a great day of racing, or 2 days of racing, and I think there'll be quite a few opportunities to find some value in what is always a really fun experience for horse players.
I absolutely agree, and we should let people know that we will be doing a special pod on Sunday. We'll be doing a pod going over the early entries and mentioning competitors that we're interested in. And we're going to have a special guest that day who's going to give us an angle that we don't know as much about that should be useful for all our players.
Yeah, so are we going to keep the guest a secret and just unveil it on Sunday, or are we playing a little bit coy here with the listeners?
No, we can spread that information. Yeah, why not? Like, reward people who are listening to this pod. So our guest will be Bruno De Julio, who is the workout guy.
The clocker of the stars.
Yes. Clocker of the stars, Bruno De Julio. So he'll give us some angles on who's training well. He won't know all of the workout. He won't be giving all his workout reports, but he'll share like that XXX is training very well.
Yeah, and he's a player and a contest player sometimes too. So, you know, he'll know the kinds of things we're interested in. And he's been there in Kentucky. Pretty much that's where he's based, but he also has some people out in the West Coast and in New York and stuff. So hopefully we'll get some good inside information on terms of how some of the top competitors are doing. And that might be something we can cash in on next weekend.
All right. And since we're talking about that show Sunday, we should we also share our all-star cast for next week, Wednesday and Thursday?
Definitely.
All right. Well, why don't you reveal who's going to join us on Wednesday for the Friday races?
On Wednesday, we will have Duke Matisse back on the show. And Duke really provided some good picks and analysis on earlier this year when we covered some races, I think, from Del Mar. So I'm really looking forward to talking with Duke and, again, getting some additional insight on those Friday races.
That's right. And if you like the Matisse brothers, you're going to get the second one on Thursday. That's Paul Matisse, who also delivered some good winners to us when he was on the show. And we'll be talking on Thursday about the Saturday races.
Yes, the Matisse to the power of two, helping us sort through the complexities of the Breeders' Cup races for Friday and Saturday. I'm really looking forward to the next week. We get all this insight from some of these guests. You and I get to chat. Start pouring over the PPs. It's one of the best times of the year for sure.
Yeah, the only drawback is all I want to be doing is handicapping and not doing anything else, but I got a lot of other stuff to do.
Yeah, but I feel like that all the time.
good point. Now, we should just mention a little contest news. This tomorrow is the last day of the October Round 1 contest for Sporta Kings. The top 100 NHC Tour players in the month of October will move on to the finals, which is next weekend. The finals are next weekend. The Breeders' Cup, all Breeders' Cup races, 5 on Friday and 9 on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's a great way to end the cup. That's always was the traditional end date for the old public handicapper contest. It's a great way to finish it up. How many races are you going to include in the contest?
There are 3 races. Oh, wait, in the Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, how many of the Breeders' Cup races will be? Is it the entire Breeders' Cup for that final?
It's all 14 races.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, 5 on Friday, 9 on Saturday.
Good incentive for those people who qualify to listen in this next week when we chat with Bruno and Duke and Paul. Hopefully they might get a few insights that could earn them an NHC spot. Who knows?
Absolutely. And right now the top 100 cutoff is $94.40 among NHC Tour players. But even if you end out finishing 110th, you may still qualify to round 2 if 10 people ahead of you have pre-qualified in either August or September. And that actually happened in September. About 29 people from the NHC who were NHC Tour players qualified both months, August and September. So the 129th person actually got in.
And that the number you would think would might be higher. Now this is the third round, right? So definitely keep that in mind when you make your selections this week. And even if you've had a horrible month, you get a couple of good price horses in here, you'll right back in it. And there are 3 races left. So don't give up and start handicapping.
All right. So speaking of handicapping, why don't we get started? We did have a guest scheduled, and unfortunately, she was a victim of the hurricane. She has no power, no internet, no access to handicapping information. So we'll have her on another time. And today it'll be just me and Chris. And we're going to do the late pick 5 from Belmont. We're going to start with the 6th race at Belmont. It's the Zagora Stakes, 1.5 miles on turf, purse of $80,000 for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. Chris, what did you think?
Well, before I start, I just want to tell Judy, if she listens in on the pod, I'm sorry to hear about all the problems with the storms. Those people out in Louisiana have really had a tough summer, but stay safe, and hopefully we'll have you on the show again sometime in the future.
Yeah, and my heart goes out to Judy because I've lost power 3 times this year, and it just turns your life upside down, even if you have a generator, and for me, even more so because I have had a generator, but always something else goes wrong.
Yeah, it's always something. All right, so let's get started on the pod. This race is one of those crazy turf routes that always seem to be wide open, always seem to come down to who gets the trips. This doesn't look like it'll be any exception at all. There is kind of an interesting horse in here that I landed on for the pod pick, and that's the 4 Lemon Zip. This horse is interesting in that last summer and fall, it was just lights out, running good race after good race at 1.5 miles on the turf. And then this year has been really strangely managed. It was, it had the COVID layoff and came back in the summer, and it came back at the distance you'd expect to see the horse run, 1.5 miles on the turf. It was probably a short horse. It kind of got tired at the end, but that's kind of what you'd expect. Where do you expect to see the horse, and maybe kind of how you'd expect it to run off the bench. But then a head scratcher. Its next start was going 5.5 furlongs on the turf, which just seemed kind of crazy. But if you watch the race, the horse ran huge, so you expect it to be dead last early, which it was, but it came flying late, and it actually was only a couple of jumps away from winning the race. It was moving so fast at the end, but really a strange place to put the horse. I don't know what they were thinking. But then in its third start and its last, which was its previous start, they only stretched it back out to a mile, which again seemed kind of weird. And they started it against some really salty grade three stakes horses. And it sort of chased a fast pace and got tired. So again, I don't know what they're doing with this horse in those two races, but now they finally have it back at that mile and a half distance on the turf where it strung together like, I think, six or seven straight races where it maybe won three or four of them and hit the board and all the rest. And it's back at the level where it should be able to compete. So, you know, I don't know if it's ready to run or not, but there's nothing tells me it can't run. It's that 5.5 furlong race. It certainly looked like it had a turn of foot. And its last race, it probably ran quicker early than it ever has before. So I think there's still some ability there. And it's back where it belongs. So to me, Lemon Zip at 15-1 on the morning line, really interesting long shot in here that probably will get overlooked by most of the betting public.
Well, you stole my thunder, and I was afraid you would, but that's okay. I have more to add.
Okay, good. Okay, keep piling it on, because
Lemon Zip is also my pick. And I was wondering as well, like, why did they enter that last race? You know, they did the 5.5 furlong. I can understand because, like, hey, let's like wake this horse up and let's, you know, get maybe some speed into it. I don't know, you know, and they also took off the blinkers for that 5.5 furlong race, which is interesting. I'm not sure why they did that. But then, you know, they did that race and the horse finished well, only like a length and a quarter out of it. And then they go against like a really good field at a mile. It doesn't make any sense. Now, the only thing that I can possibly surmise is that there was a notably best 5 furlong work after that turf, that 5.5 furlong turf race. It was a notably best 5.5 furlong work. So maybe the trainer was like, hey, you know what? This horse is totally on. Let's go third off a layoff against a really good quality field and see what happens. And it didn't end well. And you're right. The time form pace numbers were faster than it had ever run. That was the race where Blowout went like 108 and change the first 6 furlongs. And it just wasn't her style. Now, I can understand why they might have run her in the first sprint. In the second sprint, I don't know, unless he said, hey, let's put some speed into this horse. Let's get some conditioning into the horse. And like she paid the price. But now she'll be able to, tactically, she'll be able to run like a 50, 51 first half mile and like be well positioned. So that's my only guess. All I know is that the horse does have the best number at the distance. It's the only horse that has won at the distance. It's 2 for 6 at the distance. It has a win at Belmont on a good track. And I should really make sure to make this point right now. That turf course is going to be off tomorrow because it has been raining nonstop for like 2 days, just pouring rain. In fact, I'm going to be planting some trees in my yard tomorrow. And I'm like, hey, this is great. The earth is going to be completely soggy and easy to dig up. That's how soggy it's been. And even though it's supposed to be sunny later and it's going to be sunny all day tomorrow, the course will be good at best, but probably yielding. And I would guess that they'll actually take the last race off. They'll probably keep the two stake races that we're covering, one on the inner and one on the outer. That's my guess. So you want to look at whether horses have run well on and off turf course. And this horse has. The horse ran a one on a good track. It wasn't yielding, but it was a good track, and it was at Belmont. So let me see if there's anything else I have on her.
I have a couple things. Just they are putting the blinkers back on her. So they took them off for those two funky races at 5.5 and a mile. But now that they're back going a mile and a half, they put the blinkers back on, which I like, because that was, she ran all her good races with blinkers on. And also, you mentioned she had won at Belmont. That's the only race that this trainer has won, I think, at Belmont in the last 5 years with this horse. So, a couple other interests.
Okay. Yeah, I looked up, like, how does Niall Seville do with horses running on the turf at a mile and a quarter and or more? And he was 4-for-19 with a 3.13 ROI. But all four of those wins were with this horse.
Yeah.
So,
and it's because he manages it so well.
Well, you know, I can't believe I didn't notice that blinkers on. I didn't see that. I'm surprised. I've got my sheet is completely marked up. I mean, I got stuff all over the place.
I can just imagine you got these red marks all over this horse.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're both on the same one, right? So maybe we get another Collegeville girl here with Lemon Zip. That'd be good.
Yeah, I hope so. So now the question is, do you single in this race? And in my opinion, you can't. You just can't do it. So I'll just mention another horse that I'm interested in. That's Luck Money. Hits a weight break as a 3-year-old, has run well in her last two. Two races ago, she ran close to Micheline and Harvey's Little Goyle, and they both ran great in their next race. And then in her last race, she overcame a speed flow and sort of overcame it and won and galloped out best. And the race before at Kentucky Downs was a mile and 5/16. So she was pretty fast as a 2-year-old, and she gets a little weight break. So I think she has some upside, and I would probably include her.
Yeah, I mean, it's super wide open in this race. So I'll mention one other horse. So I think you can make a case for a lot of them. But one, Cap de Coy, is that how you'd say that? The 3-horse? How you pronounce that?
Your linguistics are better than mine when it comes to that.
Well, anyway, the 3-horse, I'll call it Cap de Coy. That horse is royally bred, top and bottom. And it's bred to go long, and it is rounding back into top form. And I just think it's sitting on a good race, gets a good post, good connections. You know, everything's good about that horse, and it's 15-1 on the morning line. There's no reason why it couldn't win at a big price, just solid. I mean, it's got a lot of positives. It's never run that breakout race, but its best race is as good as anything in here except Lemon Zip. And, you know, the Clement horses are going to get bet, and, you know, some of the other horses in here will get bet. So that 3-horse could get overlooked, and there's no reason why it couldn't win the race. But to me, I'm not sure I'm going to play the pick 5, but if I do, I probably would just play, you know, Lemon Zip and maybe just the 3 and the 4 and just take a shot. I wouldn't put a bunch of money into it. You know, rather than trying to go with all and could get caught with a short price like the 2. So for me, a lot of times what I'll do in these wide open races, if there's a couple long shots I like, then I'll just go with them rather than really spread. If in the later legs there's some horses I can lean on, you know, and cut the as well. And then maybe there's another race where I can spread out. But that's kind of what I did last week, and it worked. It doesn't always work, but that's probably how I would play the pick 5. But I think we're both, you know, on Lemon Zip. It'll be real interesting to see what that horse does in here, because its best race definitely can win.
I had written second place on Cap to, I'm just going to say Crius until Crius, I actually okay. hear. I'm just taking it at face value. But I liked the horse. The only reason I no longer have it in second place, but I still think it would be a use, is that its worst race was at Saratoga on a yielding course. Now, we don't know what the track condition is going to be, but they're off the turf today. It's going to be chilly. I mean, it's just not going to get all dried out. It snowed here this morning. So it's going to stay boggy, I think. And so that's my only concern. Now, that bad race on yielding was as a three-year-old coming off a top. So maybe it just had an off race and maybe the yielding is fine. Certainly at 15-1, it's hard to pass up.
That's a good point. Although, you know, sometimes the speed ratings and on those kinds of tracks are screwy, and the horse did run third in the same level of race it had been running before. So if you look at the running line, it's really not bad. It earned kind of a funky figure on the sheets, but that could just be a bad figure because it's really hard to make speed figures on when you only have one or two turf races and they're yielding. I mean, those are the ones that have the biggest error bars around them. So that's a good point. I mean, you don't know how any of them are going to handle the yielding going, and it'd be better if it had won. But I mean, getting beat two lengths, you know, running third on the lead and uncharacteristically on the lead, which it doesn't typically do on the turf. You know, I wouldn't put too much stock into the speed figure in that race. That's only my only caution. But yeah, you know, it's worth noting.
Yeah, I mean it's a caveat. But at 15-1, you don't need too many excuses. And you're right, the breeding is tremendous. The dam light jig was a very fast, I believe, Judmont horse. One other horse I'll mention, and just because we're talking about the track condition, and that's the one Bo Bell. And she's only 2 for 22 on turf. But those two races were on yielding courses at 1 3/16 last year at Saratoga. So keep that in mind. Now, the 4-1 is ridiculous, right? I mean, 4-1, you don't want this horse that's only 2 for 22. But I don't think she's going to be that low. I mean, she was 18-1 in her last, and she finished 6th out of 7. So I can't imagine that she'll be 4-1, but I would think at least 6-1. And that's just, it's something to note, you know, because it could be like that. You know, it could be very boggy tomorrow.
Yeah, in fact, when it gets that boggy, it's really hard to go on because, you know, it's not like one turf course that's real soft is similar to the other. So that could have a big effect on the outcome is who can handle the going, especially if it's as bad as you say it is. I think the weather forecast is good, but like you said, it's not going to dry out any, right? It's taken all that rain. It's probably going to be a bog. It'll be interesting to see if they do stay on. They only have one more day of racing after tomorrow, right, at Belmont?
Yeah, and they really try to keep the stakes on, and I think they can get away with having one race per – that's what, you know, one race per course. So I think they'll actually keep it on because there's going to be enough drawing that it won't be horrible, but it's probably still going to be yielding.
That's a good point, though. They could possibly take the off the 10th, although, you know, maybe they leave that on. But that's, I didn't really look at that race for off the turf. So
I did very cursorily. I think we do need to mention Muta Makina. The 2, who's the favorite in this race? Are you laughing at my pronunciation?
No, I'm just thinking of Hakuna Matata, the song from The Lion King. If you had kids that were young at that time, you know what I'm talking about. So,
yeah, luckily my kid didn't watch that movie. I'm not sure if it came out before, after, whatever, but we did not watch that. But I mean, this horse is a true marathon horse. Its debut was at 1 1/4. Then it won its second race at 1 1/4, which was on a soft course. And I think the only time it ran at the distance, it ran second. And I guess Sotsass.
You can imagine what I thought when I first saw that name.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now that turned out to be a good horse, right?
Oh yeah, he's won some big races over in Europe, definitely. Yeah,
so he was second to that horse at 1.5 miles. So it's kind of hard to, if you are going to play the pick five, kind of hard to not include that horse. And the numbers look right. You know, the numbers look good. At least the numbers I'm looking at, they look like the horse has a solid chance.
Yeah, on a bog too, the horse, like, you know, has run well on those off courses. So if any of them can handle it, probably would be that one.
Yeah, I mean, she has never even run less than a mile and a quarter. So anyway, something to keep in mind. We're not against Muta Makina.
Well, let's get on to Muta Makina. Yeah.
Let's move on to this next race, because there's going to be a lot of horses to talk about later. Seventh race is it's an allowance. It's 6.5 furlongs on dirt, purse of 72,000 for 3-year-olds and up. I'll go first this time, just so we take turns. And I think this is a pretty wide open race. Also, I went with as my top pick Troubleshooter. The horse has some ability. He debuted on turf because the dam was a turf horse, but he didn't run well in that race, and they tried him on dirt, and he's 2 for 2 on the dirt. In his last, he was bumped, and he had a gritty inside trip among horses and then finished lumbering. That's what I was thinking. Like, he was just a big old lumbering horse, but he still got up. And that was his first race going 2 turns, and they almost always improve cutting back after that. So now he cuts back to 1 turn in a race that's pretty filled with speed. And I liked that he was able to still win at what's probably not his optimal distance in his last race. So that'd be the horse that I land on in the 7th.
Yeah, I mean, I like the cutback and distance, and all this horse has upside. And I don't know, I don't think you mentioned this. This looks like a jam-packed, loaded with speed race, even for a New York jockey colony. I don't see how they aren't going fast. You do have, like, Carmouche on a speed horse on the outside post, so he'll help juice up the pace. And just seems like most of these horses want to be right on the lead. So I think that really plays in the favor for Troubleshooter. So I definitely think that's a contender at a price. The horse I like maybe a little better is the 5-horse Gemography. Doesn't nearly have the upside that Troubleshooter has, but it's consistently run numbers that can win this race, but it's been racing at Finger Lakes, so it won't get a lot of respect, probably shipping over. It joins the Hennig barn. I think they're done racing at Finger Lakes for now. So we'll probably see a lot of these Finger Lakes horses come over, although I might be wrong about that. I don't follow that Finger Lakes racing much. But Hennig's done pretty well when he gets a trainer change, when he picks up a horse like this. So I think the horse fits, and I like the fact that it can come from off the pace. It, you know, can sit off of that likely hot pace and finish. So at another horse at a big price, along with Troubleshooter, I like is the 5 Gemography. That's probably who I would pick for my pod pick.
Yeah, I like the pattern on that horse. The thing that gives me pause is his last 2 wins were at 5.5 furlongs, and this is 6.5 furlongs. And he's coming off his best race, matching his best race. So that's good. But at the same time, the last time he ran that fast, he reacted in his next race. Now he goes an extra furlong. So that's my reason for pausing. But at 15-1, you know, one of the fastest horses, it's kind of hard to leave him off your ticket.
Yeah, and he has run really good races. I think he ran, there were seconds, but they were as fast as he had ever run a couple of those at Belmont at 6.5 furlongs, which is exactly what he's doing today. So it's now is back as a young 3-year-old. So I think the distance certainly within his scope, especially if they can sit off a hot early pace and the other horses are tiring. But I mean, it certainly has handled this distance in the past without any problem. So I wouldn't put too much in that, especially at 15-1. But I, you know, I'm looking for horses that can come from off the pace. Troubleshooter, definitely one of them. Gemography is another, you know, that I think can sit off and finish in this race where there is quite a bit of pace.
I think your point is well taken. Those 2 seconds at Belmont at the distance are pretty good. One of them was at 26-1. So, I mean, not bad, right? I mean, so I'm gonna upgrade him based on that, and that's why we talk about him. And like you said, especially coming off the pace.
Yeah, hopefully that's what, and hopefully you never know in New York, they are going fast early, which is kind of the assumption I had going in here. A couple other horses I'll just mention, not as value plays, but just I think you have to respect. One is, I think the most likely winner is probably the 4-horse Jerry the Nipper. It's going to get over bet. I'm not saying to bet it, but Pletcher's just really good off layoffs, and this horse has a lot of upside. Both its races were really good. It did win going wire to wire, and it's one win, but it sat off the pace and it's raced prior to that, and I think, you know, it could sit off the pace in here. So, you know, that horse is probably the one to beat, but it'll be nowhere near a good value play. It's just, though, I wouldn't worry. The layoff with Pletcher is not usually an issue. That they usually come back running.
Well, so for 3-year-olds going 180 days off or more, he's a 37%. So
with a
244 yeah. ROI, 37%. Oh. 3-year-olds on dirt. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. So I agree with you. He's my second pick. He could become part of a speed brigade, but it's not like he set a very fast pace in the Aqueduct race. That was kind of his winning race. That was just kind of a default. He was just the best horse, you know?
And it was a mile too. So they weren't going as fast early. So I would expect him to be off the pace in here.
Yeah, another thing about that horse, he's running nothing but bullets, right? He hadn't run a 5-furlong workout before his last race. So he just started running 5-furlong workouts, and they're all bullets, right? First of 16, first of 18, first of 17. And that's just, it's hard to, you can't leave that horse. If you play the include that horse. I mean, let's.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, and he's the one who could blow the field away, right? I mean, he might pop a huge race here. So, I mean, that's the one horse that could just be much better than this field, and especially with the numbers you just pulled out. I just know Pletcher in general is really good off layoffs, especially on the, you know, in these dirt sprints. So, I agree with you. That's the horse. In fact, If you wanted to get really cheap, you could just take a shot and single that horse and hope he just is much the best. But I do think horses like Troubleshooter and Gemography, if that horse doesn't fire, and even 37% means he loses 63% of the time, you know, those horses could score at a price, and that could really juice up any payoffs, either vertical or horizontal.
Yeah. You know, he could take a lot of money. I mean, he could be 7-5. We just don't know. But sometimes these Pletcher horses coming off a layoff, there's so much buzz on them that they just get hammered.
Yeah, and with those works. But so that would even be more reason why, just to see you definitely would want to have them. Doesn't mean they're going to win. But yeah, this horse could be, you know, turn out to be much the best in here. I mean, it did win its last race by 6 lengths.
And that was its only race on a fast track, which the track should be fast tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I guess that's enough for that race. Let's move to the 8th. It's the AWOD Stakes, 1/16 on the inner turf, purse of 80,000 for 2-year-olds. What did you think here?
I like this race quite a bit. This is probably the best race to bet. There are 2 horses, maybe 3, I really like. You know, the one horse is kind of obvious, but it's 8-1 in the morning line. So if that holds up, that'd be great. It can be done, just looks really freaky fast. It just ran them off their feet last time and still galloped out well. And it looks like it could get the lead in here. So to me, you've got to use It Can Be Done. I have a feeling it's going to get bet down from that 8-1 morning line. So, you know, it may end up being the favorite, who knows, or at least one of the favorites. But I don't, you can't leave that off. And if it does go off at 8-1, it's definitely a good bet. But I, the horse I think probably will be a price that will be value is the 9 horse Heat of the Night. And that horse really had a tough trip last out. I mean, it just had a tough race pretty much from the start. It broke slow, dropped back, was kind of caught in traffic a couple times, finally got clear in the stretch. And when it did, it kind of leveled off well and galloped out really well. And that was against a horse, Gretzky the Great, that might be one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, I think that last one was better than it looked, and it won its debut going a mile, which I always like to see it when they win their debut. So to me, the horse really fits, but the trainer, who's not a big name, I think it's Timothy Ham is his name. He has been red hot this fall in New York. He's had 2 stakes winners, including a horse I think might be able to win a Breeders' Cup race day out of the office. So, you know, he's been firing with these 2-year-olds in stakes races in New York. This horse fits. It comes in off a very good race. It's 10-1 in the morning line. I think, and it has tactical speed, so it should be able to get a good trip, good rider. So number 9, Heat of the Night, I think is really live in here. And the 11, It Can Be Done. If they don't bet it down, you know, it's probably the one to beat, because it just looks like one of these horses that can just go out and gallop really fast and just run them off their feet like he did last time. Or I should say these are he's. Yeah. All right. So that's where I'm going.
Well, I agree with you on both those horses that you mentioned. I think if you play the pick 5, you got to go deep in this race. So I would include Heat of the Night and It Can Be Done. There's a bunch of others I would include too. And I'm just going to give you my top pick, which is kind of random because almost any horse can win this race. But just because I think the price could be really nice is Like a Salt Shaker, who is bred for the turf and goes for a trainer jock combo that is 5-for-6 in the exacta, including with Shecky Shabazz before he got claimed and did so well for Jason Service. The sire is a son of Warfront. It's Peace and Justice. And then the dam was 3-for-15 on turf, including at a mile and a half. Now the trainer has, I've got lifetime ROIs. So if you look at daily racing form last 5 years, you're not going to get these numbers. His lifetime ROI first route is $2.07 and first time turf, $4.56. I just thought I loved the way the horse won the last race. So it's got breeding. It's 1-2 in a row. It stretched out a little bit and it was not on the lead in the last race. It was a sort of, you know, it rated off and it waited for space. And then it went on. And I believe it was a hand ride and the jockey was jubilant. I don't know why he was so psyched. Maybe he had a big bet on the horse. It was a minor stakes race. So maybe it was big for him. I forget who that jockey was. Heyman Hernandez. So I think he's doing pretty well at Presque Isle Downs. So I just, you know, it was a decisive score. I liked the gallop out. I just thought the horse was so professional, and that combined with breeding, I think you might get more than 8-1 in this race. That's so competitive.
Yeah, that's a bold pick. And I do think you'll get your price there. Does seem like a tough spot to stretch out for the first time and try turf for the first time, but it's all those firsts and the connections that'll get you the price. And that trainer has done shipped in and done well in New York. I remember I've made money on not in a turf route, but in some dirt sprints, I've cashed on that horse. And like you said, he did bring in Checky Shabazz and won back. That was before Service got a hold of the horse. So, yeah, that's an interesting long shot. I wasn't really thinking of it to win, although you're encouraging me to give that a second thought. I was more concerned that might be the one horse that could push the 11 horse early. He's the only one with any kind of speed to possibly go with him. And he is stretching out and does have a fairly aggressive rider. But it is New York, so maybe they'll take back. And the fact that they are stretching out, maybe they decide they want to try to make sure they try to save something for the stretch run. If they do that, then the 11 can get loose. But yeah, that horse is kind of interesting. I kind of see where you're coming from on that one.
Now there's three horses that I think kind of have to be included. They're the ones that ran on a yielding course in the last race. It was won by Catman. Wooten Asset almost got up for second, and Kidnapped, I believe, was third. Kidnapped was fractious at the gate, took some bumping, and it was his first time going two turns and his first time going farther than 5.5 furlongs. And he still closed gamely, and he's like 10-1. And the dam was 2 for 18 on the turf. So he should absolutely improve in his second time going two turns. It's not really two turns, but like if they almost always improve their next race after their first two turn race. Catman had speed. He's got Carmouche, so he should be right up there. He didn't win. He didn't wire in the last race, so I like that. I like that they have speed, but they don't necessarily have to have the lead. And Wooten Asset has a tough post and kind of a low morning line at 4-1, but that horse was absolutely sandwiched after the start in the last race and still almost got up. So it's a tough post, but I mean, after that trip, it was like heroic how well he ran. So I would have a hard time not including Wooten Asset, even though the outside post is tricky.
Yeah, but he is the morning line favorite, and from that post, I'm willing to toss it. It's interesting you say that because he did have trouble to start, but I thought the 5 Kidnapped was the one that got completely sandwiched and pinched back. That was a horse that took much the worst of it. I thought to start more.
Well, it was like a Big Mac, you know, with two patties, and each of them were patties. They both got hammered.
But the difference I think is Kidnapped wants to be forward replaced. So that totally took him out of his game. Whereas Wooten Asset, I'm not sure, you know, that really was as big of an impact. So anyway, between those two, I really like, much preferred Kidnapped coming out of the race, much prefer the rider switch to Irad, much prefer the post. So I am kind of high on Kidnapped. And like you said, they came out of the yielding course. I was kind of, Wooten Asset, I agree with what you said, but just from that post as a favorite in this race, I'm just going to take a shot against that horse. I mean, there's so many other horses in here that could win that are going to be a much better price. I just don't see any reason to include that one. If it beats me, it beats me. That's the way I look at this one.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you're the morning line maker, and I don't envy the job that David Aragona has, but I mean, this horse might go off at 6-1. It's just, it's a very competitive race. I mean, the horse that he beat, Catman, maybe a lower price or is going to be similar. You've got that, in the heat of the night or heat of the night coming in off a grade one stakes race. I would just hate to see, you know, I'd hate to play the pick five and then see that horse win at 6-1 and be like, oh yeah, I only tossed it because it was the favorite from the outside post.
Yeah, could be. Although it's been heavily bet every time it's ever started either here or in Europe. So, and it did have the trouble and only got beat a nose in a stake, the Laurel Futurity last out, trained by Graham Motion, ridden by Joel Rosario. I don't see it going off at 6-1. I think it is going to be the favorite. I think Jared Aragon has got it right. If anything, he might have it too high. So I'd be really shocked if that horse goes off at 6-1. So I really do think it's worth fading. But I mean, if it did go off at 6-1, you're right. You probably want to include it. But to me, it screams favorite. I think I can see why he made that horse a favorite. The horse, I think the other one, I guess he does have his second choice on the morning line, is that Space Launch is the kind of horse that could really get bet off of that debut. But it really wasn't that fast from a speed figure standpoint. And, you know, it'll probably get way over bet. So that's another one I would probably just take a shot against. It could run really well. Clement's really good second starter, time starters. So, I mean, the horse could run really well, but when their numbers come back that low compared to the field and it's going to get bet, that's the other kind I could fade in here. Now, this is, to me, the race, you're right, it's wide open, but it's the kind of race that's wide open, but, you know, you don't play them all, you just play the prices and hope that you're right about it being wide open. There's the goodest chance for a price as there is for a short price, you know. That's the way I would play it.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is another tough sequence. Congratulations on hitting the sequence last week. Nice job.
Thanks. Yeah, that was nice. That was one of those few times where, you know, you say, okay, I'm going to toss the favorites in this wide open race, and they actually didn't win. You know, the favorites didn't win. Or I'm going to single this long shot because I think it's as good as or better than anything in the race, and it wins. So some days that happens, and you hope that you can really get paid for those because you know that it's not going to happen that often. So, yeah, that was nice.
All right. Let's go to our next race then, and that is the ninth race, the Bold Ruler Handicap. 7 furlongs on the dirt, purse of 100,000 for 3-year-olds and up. This is also a tough race, and there's going to be a scratch. Wendell Fong ran yesterday, so he'll be scratched from this race. So it's only a 5-horse field. The horse I landed on is the longest shot on the board. He came back from Arch Cat. He came back from a freshening. He won 2 times, including once at the distance. Trainer is 2-for-3 at the meet. He's the value. I mean, I don't really like the look of any other horse other than Arch Cat. So that's my pick. And, you know, he's pretty consistently fast. And yet, because he's been running at these mid-Atlantic tracks, he is, you know, probably going to be the longest shot on the board.
Yeah, well, I'm with you with Arch Cat. I think it's kind of the obvious play for sure. And, you know, that trainer is 2-for-3 at Belmont this year, 3-for-3 in the money. Gets Kendrick in a race without much pace, so he won't get the lead. Sure, the ride's going to get an easy lead. That's probably the most likely winner, so that's the one I'm worried about. But I think Arch Cat can sit second. And the 7-furlong distance, I think, goes in his favor because Share the Ride, that might be a little too far, even with an easy lead. So maybe he can run the 2 down late. But I think those are the 2 in here. I think the other ones all have big negatives and are going to be overbet. You know, Fat Man off the layoff. Mijos just hasn't really been in that good of form lately. Majestic Dunhill, same thing, really hasn't been in that good form lately. So, you know, I think this race you could get by with just Share the Ride and Arch Cat. And Arch Cat's definitely the bet in the win pool.
Yeah, I'm quite a bit negative on Share the Ride. I'd have a hard time including him. He ran a really big number 2 races ago, and then he reacted in his next one, which there's no shame in reacting. The question is if he can run even close to that huge number that he ran 2 races ago, that puts him right there. So I do think he'll be bet, and it's going to be hard for people to look at speed figures and not include this horse. But he's also never even run the distance. He did a mile on the turf, but all his other races are 6 furlongs. So not only does he have that really big race that he ran 2 races ago as a 5-year-old, But now he goes an extra furlong, you know, one eighth of a mile more. And I think he's like, he's the kind of horse that I kind of just want to toss.
Yeah, I mean, you could, but he's the horse that's going to be three lengths clear early. And so, especially in New York, yeah, I just don't think you can leave those horses. If you're seriously playing the pick five, he's not going to run back to that race, his big race. But is it last two, his last three dirt races with an easy lead like he's going to get could win this race for sure. So I just don't think he's one. He's the one I'm worried about. I think Arch Cat can beat everybody else. He's just in better form than the rest. But, you know, chasing a loose on the lead, share the ride, you know, he might not be able to run him down. That's just the way I see the race. I'm not too worried about the other horses. I just don't think they're going to run big in here. They just don't look like they're ready to run a big race, and they're all going to get bet too. So that's kind of how I see it. I don't disagree with what you're saying on share the ride, but he just doesn't hardly ever run a bad race. And his only bad race this year was off the bench. Even his turf races weren't that bad. So ever since this trainer's gotten the horse, it's been pretty good. And it's got the first freshening it's had all year coming into this race. So I don't know. There's just, to me, there's a lot of positives that go along with some of the negatives. Especially the fact that he's the only speed in a paceless race.
Yeah. Well, hey, I tossed Some Like It Hot Brown last week, and you cashed a $10,000 pick five with him. I'm going to look at it hard, and it depends on really what my bet is, because if I can get a pick five that's affordable and including or losing share of the ride is going to be the difference in making it affordable, then I probably won't include him. But
yeah,
we'll see.
That's okay. Yeah, if you singled Arch Cat, I wouldn't argue with that in the pick five. That's not a bad play at all. I'm just saying that my biggest concern in here with Arch Cat is share the ride. He's the one I'm worried about, not really much any of the others. I'm not saying he's a good win bet. I'm just saying he's the main danger, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's entirely possible that he will absolutely be crushed in the betting. Yeah, with that 103 and he's coming out of the Vosburg. I can see this horse giving it up at 6-5. And there's only five horses, so he could go off that low.
Yeah. He might. I think it just depends on how they bet Fat Man off the bench, and that will kind of just determine it. I think it's how they bet him off the bench. But I think Share the Ride is definitely going to be the favorite. I think unless there's some big buzz on Fat Man.
Yeah,
he has some fast workouts at Monmouth, but we'll see.
They are fast. They're bullets, but they're not as fast as he has run his workouts. One thing I'll note about Fat Man, and I'm not saying he's a complete toss, but the trainer with 4-year-olds and up going on dirt over 180 days off, he's 0-7 and only one even in the money. So that might be, yeah, it's a pretty small sample, but only one in the money makes me think twice about including him.
Yeah, plus I think this horse is more of a miler. I don't like him at all. I'm going to toss him. I'm just saying from a betting standpoint, he could take money. He's coming out of all those stakes races. He won some down in Florida, and he did work 34 flat in his last workout. So that he could take, he's the one other horse could take some money other than Share the Ride. So,
yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't be playing him.
Okay. All right. Well, that race was easy. Let's go to the 10th race. It's a maiden claiming mile on the turf, purse of 43,000 for fillies, mares, 3-year-olds and up. There is a good chance this comes off the turf. I can see them doing that. And like, there's just really no reason to keep it on the turf. although naturally they'll be handle will be more if there's a bigger field. And I will note that if it stays on the turf, posts 8 on out are hitting at only 5% from at this distance at on the outer turf. So just a caveat there, since some of the lower prices are on the outside. What did you think here?
Well, if it does come off the turf, then to me the 8 horse is clearly a standout. So if it's off the turf, I would go with the 8 horse. If they stay on the turf, I actually think the 8 horse could be a decent price. It won't be a 8-1 if it comes off the turf. But if they go on the turf, I think the 8 horse is actually kind of interesting anyway, because it debuted on the turf and it wasn't that bad of a debut. And so even if they go, if they stay on the turf, I think that the 8 horse is an interesting play, because I do think you'll get the 8-1 maybe if they stay on. But if they come off, it's definitely the 8 horse for me. And I have a crazy long shot if they stay on, but I'll turn it over to you first before I talk about that one.
You mean like crazy long shot top pick?
Crazy long shot, probably more for underneath, but possibly could win in this race, which would be wide open, especially if they stay on the turf and it's a boggy turf course, because you never know who's going to handle it. Yeah, it's pretty crazy long shot.
I have many, many horses written here as possible winners. So this is another race that if it's on the turf, yeah, you got to go deep. And I had a crazy long shot too, but it's probably crazier than yours. I'm not even going to start with it because it was so crazy. It was so crazy.
We might be on the same crazy long shot.
Well, if we are, we're that'll be amazing. All right. So I'm just going to say, I'm going to go with the most logical horse right now, and that is Memories Eternal. I think he looks like the most likely winner. When I first looked at the numbers and I saw the 2 5.5 furlong races, I said, well, how often does Clement do that? Like 2 5.5 furlong races or 2 sprints and then a route. And it, actually, he does it a lot. He's actually 5 for 17 doing it, and with some halfway decent prices. So there's nothing abnormal about him doing that.
Are you talking about the 4 horse? Because I think you said the 9 horse. Are you talking about the 4 horse?
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about, right. Yeah. Okay. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So reset. Yeah.
I'm resetting. Okay. So, yeah. So I had Memories Eternal written there first. Silent Empress. Yeah. Third out for Clement. Going 2 sprints to a route in his third race. He's 5 for 17 with a 282 ROI. Now, you may wonder, like, hey, what about Rosario Gets Off? Well, Rosario Gets Off for She's So Naughty, who's the 14, who's an AE. And if that horse gets in, like, it's got a great shot, turf or dirt. In fact, that would be my play off the turf, She's So Naughty. But I guess, you know, he wasn't allowed to commit to both those horses, so he probably reluctantly took the She's So Naughty. And so I'm totally fine with him getting off and letting Manny have that mount. So that's top pick. And I'm going to wait and hear your crazy long shot before I give you mine.
All right. So I will in terms of if it stays on the turf, the most likely ones to play, I think, would be that you have to include if it stays on the turf, would be the 9 that you mentioned. Memories Eternal definitely fits. And the 10 horse, Twice the Lady, who's going second start for Maker, gets the blinkers. Both of those horses, if it stays on the turf, are ones you'd have to include. They're both favorites, so there's no value there. The post isn't ideal, like you said. But this race is so full of bad horses, I don't know if it matters that much. But I did want to talk about my, you know, crazy long shot. So that's what I'll talk about now. And that's the one horse Dust in the Wind. Is that the one you had, Scott, or is it, you have a different one?
Well, I definitely have that horse. I have a lot of horses listed, and I'll mention the other one that I typed something up about, which is so crazy that I didn't even make it my top pick.
Okay,
so go on.
Dust in the Wind, that was the theme song in my senior prom. I remember, whenever I see that, I just can look back at dancing with my prom day and senior prom. So anyway, that tells you I'm pretty old. But the horse, it's crazy long shot, but I mean, this is a race with, there's just not any really good horses. And this horse actually, as a two-year-old back in August, ran a pretty good race against, for for a tag, New York bred maidens on the turf route. Its first turf route was really good. So to me, you know, that actually, if it could run back to that race in here, it could hit the board just off of that two-year-old effort. And it should have gotten better. And it hasn't yet this year. Its first race was on a sloppy track. Just throw that out. Its dirt races are terrible. But then second off a layoff, it ran pretty much back to what it had done as a two-year-old, which is exactly what you'd like to see, despite some trouble. And then it just ran like 4 days ago and just had a nightmare trip, basically didn't lift a hoof in that race. And they wheel it back like in I don't know if it's 4 days ago. Let's see. Today's the 30th.
Six days from six day layoff.
On Saturday. So they wheel it back and it could be sitting on a really big race, I think. And you know, it could win this race. It draws the rail. The problem is the trainer never wins. The jockey never wins. And you know, on a turf routes, the jockeys are probably the races where the jockey makes the most difference. So, and this jockey, I think, has won one race in his entire career on the turf.
Well, that's in the last 12 months. One for 46. Right.
Yeah, but my guess is that might be the entire career. After watching this rider ride on the turf. So, you know, I don't know what kind of trip it's going to get, but the horse might be able to carry the rider in this case. And if he just stays on the rail and somehow gets lucky and can get into the clear at some point, the horse could pull off a shocker. It could literally, it was like 60-1 last time and it ran dead last 6 days ago. So in a full field, this horse could be 150-1 in this race. And I think it could hit the board and who knows, maybe even win. So to me, that's the really crazy long shot. Number one, Dust in the Wind. Maybe you can prom dance that horse right into the winner's circle.
Well, I would absolutely positively keep that horse on the ticket. I mean, you have to include that horse because the rail is nice and the dam was a stakes winner on turf. So it's got some breeding and you're right. The trainer doesn't do that well. The jockey, that's his only mount listed. And I kind of find it hard to believe that all day he's going to be waiting just to ride this one horse. So there's a chance there'll be a jockey change, right? Because otherwise wouldn't he be riding a whole card somewhere else? I don't know.
I don't think his services are in high demand, Scott.
he did ride this horse, you know, in its first two races when he had a bug. So, I mean, that's the only connection that I can make because the trainers never used this jockey. So not only is it his only mount that he's listed on, but the trainers never actually used the jockey, but the jockey ran on this horse his first two races. The thing is that, yeah, like when you see a trainer like this that never wins, that's not a good thing, but he does have a 4% winning percentage, right? He has a 3% winning percentage on the turf and he actually has a 249 lifetime ROI on the turf. So when they win at big prices and if there's any race that you're going to get a big price, if they're on the turf, it would be this race, right? Because this is exactly where you've got like all these horses. Like, why is Maker dropping the horse, his horse, into this maiden claimer after the first race didn't seem that bad, right? Well, he's probably just trying to get rid of it. I don't see why he would just be trying to rack up wins at Belmont.
So can I just jump in? I went and looked it up. His last, he has his last win on the turf, this trainer, was in August at 35-1 in a maiden claimer at Monmouth. So
wait, that was this year?
Yeah, on August 23rd with a horse named Positive Power. He won at 35-1 in a maiden claimer, a two-turn turf stakes at a turf race, a maiden claimer at Monmouth.
Sweet. So. Yeah. So that's the whole point, right? If you might toss if it was like a maiden special weight and it looked like there were some really competitive horses, you might toss this horse. But for the reasons that you outlined, as well as the chance that, that when this guy does hit, he hits big. It's a reason to include the horse. So yeah, let's hope that happens. That's his only win in the last 5 years on turf, but he also has a second at Monmouth in September with a 37-1 in another maiden claiming race on the turf. So there you go. Another reason to like him. Now I'm going to, just because I typed it all up, I will go into my crazy long shot that also has a chance. Although I'm second guessing myself, and that is Cemetery VIP. He's earned a couple of competitive speed figures running at 6 furlongs, like almost as fast as these horses. And his last race, he looked rank I watched his last race. He had Carmouche on him, and the trainer and Carmouche have a solid profitable ROI. So I figured, okay, that's the day that the horse is supposed to win. But he was closer to the pace than he usually is, and he was rank, and it just turned into a complete non-effort. But the speed figures, his first two races, his first race as a 2-year-old and his first race as a 3-year-old, kind of make him competitive here. And he has a good post for this field, and he gets a big weight break. And the trainer jock finished second on an 11-1 turf horse on October 11th. The trainer is 6-23 at this meet. I mean, he gets 11 pounds from some of these horses. And I wrote, get 7 to 11 pounds from a bunch of misfits. And he also shows his fastest 5-furlong work ever coming to this race, even though it's only like 102, but it's 2 seconds faster than he ever ran. Now, the horse doesn't have any turf breeding and he doesn't have any distance breeding, but there's gotta be a reason why he's only been entered on turf. And so that it's just the figures say to me that I would have to include this horse, even though I don't really expect him to win. But I'd have to include him. And given that weight break and given this field, he's an include for me, but I would not advise people, like, don't play the pick five without Cemetery VIP.
What a weird name for a horse, Cemetery VIP.
They've got a death wish for him.
Well, certainly for a Halloween pick, that might be your Halloween pick, the Cemetery VIP. We got the prom. The theme song for the prom in Dust in the Wind, and we've got Cemetery VIP on Halloween. That would be an interesting exacta. You mentioned that second place. So I looked at the trainer of Dust in the Wind. You made me go look up his trainer stats. His last 4 maiden claimers on the turf, he's had a winner at 35-1 and a second place at 37-1. So that's of his last 4 starts, he's had 1 winner and 1 second and they were both at over 30-1. So, you know, maybe Dust in the Wind could get it done. Who knows? Even with Harlan Harkey on in the irons, he just might be able to.
It's Heyman Harkey.
Hey, Heyman Harkey. Okay. Anyway, maybe he can get him his second win on the turf, or at least hit the board.
So. All right. Now, it wouldn't be a pod if we didn't talk about almost every horse in the race. There's I would also say that Women Not Easy has a shot. Tony Lee is not out of complete control, but I could probably trim that one since the trainer's never won with a turf horse. Let Artie Lead is a first time starter who ran his fastest workout 2 weeks ago on the synthetic at Fair Hill. And that trainer has won with bombs before. So Let Artie Lead, you know, Artie Schiller is going, you know, going a mile is something that you always have to consider. And I don't think that, you know, I certainly think that Twice the Lady has a shot. I think Corded has a shot. And I think Tornado Crossing has a shot if he gets it. So I don't know if we were a lot of help in this race.
Well, I think the bottom line is if it stays on the turf and you're serious, this is the one you've got to spread. And it's hard to trim anybody out. So, you know, spread as much as you can. If it comes off, I think it becomes a really easy race. To me, it's you single the 8 horse. So I'm almost hoping they take this one off and I might play the pick 5. Because if you look at these horses, they're just all horrible on the dirt. I mean, there's a couple of them that haven't run on it, so I guess you could consider them. But if you look at almost every horse in this race, they just have awful races on the dirt. They're clearly plus-plus turf. So there's a whole bunch of easy tosses if it comes off. So that completely would change the way you play it, I think. If it comes off, you can really narrow it down because there's a whole bunch of horses you can toss. They just have run horrible races on the dirt multiple times, most of them. And then there's a couple of them that are only one that's really shown dirt form. And then a couple of them you just don't know. But so I think, you know, that could be the saving grace is if it comes off, I think it becomes a lot easier race to play in the pick 5. If it stays on, you almost have to really spread. This is like, this is the kind of race they like to put at the end of these pick 5s that in New York, where these state bred maiden claimers on the turf and you get all kinds of crazy results. So that's why a horse like Cemetery VIP or Dust in the Wind, it's crazy as it seems if you follow New York racing.
Yeah, I'm just going to disagree with you that if they take this off the turf, I don't like Beleza at all. I don't, you know, the horse has some figures, but you know, it's failed twice as the favorite. It got third, and those were in maiden 25s. And then its last race, it was 7-2, and it was third. I don't know. I wouldn't really like that horse.
Who would you pick? Who would you play? I mean, you could toss most every other horse in the race. I mean, you're not going to play.
I would play the 14. She's so naughty. And she, you know, the figure wasn't good, but it was only her second race in the July 10th. And
well, yeah, she's another, the other one you could maybe include, but she's definitely plus turf. So they might scratch, you know, they might stay in, but they, you know, there's a good chance they could scratch.
Well, they already stayed in for one race, and that was a sloppy track. And they, you know, it was a Pletcher trainee originally. I think they stay in. I mean,
right. Yeah, that would be, and then that would be the other one. And then, you know, one of the MTOs is terrible, but the other MTO you could put. So I mean, the bottom line is there's only a few horses that you'd have to include if it comes off the turf, because you're not going to play these horses that have been running just horrible races on the dirt, and that's like, you know, 3/4 of the field have already proven they can't lift a hoof on the dirt. So it just becomes a much different race.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's you don't have to, you won't have to go as deep if it's on the dirt, But then at the same time, like, I think it'll make the pick five sort of unplayable.
I don't know. I mean, Arch Cat, 10 to 1. Heat of the Night, 10 to 1. Troubleshooter, 15 to 1. Gemography, 15 to 1. Lemons at 15 to 1. You got all kinds of prices in the early legs. I would be like to have to not spread way out in this last leg, and you could still have a really good pick five.
That's true. I mean, it could just be a five-digit score instead of a six-digit score.
Yeah. and I do think you can narrow down to, you know, three or four horses in that last leg, and the other ones just have no chance. So if it goes off, if it stays on, it's a total, you know, crazy. It could be a total crazy result.
Yeah, one of us should tweet Andy Serling. Hey, Andy, are they going to be on the turf tomorrow for the 10th? I'm kidding.
I'll let you do that, Scott.
All right. Did you have a chance to look at any of the races today?
No, I really didn't. No, not. I really don't have much to say beyond what we talked about.
Okay.
Interesting sequence again. Definitely a variety of races.
Yeah, so I guess that will wrap it up. So that will conclude show number 90 of the Sport of Kings pod. May you cash well and often at Belmont, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Giddy up.